In this episode of the CJ Evolution podcast, we welcome Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. She's a functional medicine physician specializing in muscle-centric medicine, and she practices out of New York City. She's going to talk about nutrition, biohacking your 10X, managing your stress, how to age healthy and gracefully, and many more topics you're going to find very interesting. Stay tuned for this great episode on the CJE podcast. So pumped to have Dr. Lyon on the show. She leverages evidence-based medicine with emerging cutting-edge science to restore metabolism, balance hormones, and optimize body composition. She treats elite soldiers, elite athletes, and she's going to give you some great advice for you, the law enforcement and criminal justice professional, because we all want optimal performance. Stay tuned for this great episode. Folks, I'm so excited to be partnered with Four Sigmatic. If you don't know who they are or what they produce some amazing products, most notably their mushroom coffee. I'm a big fan of their Lion's Mane mushroom coffee. They also have elixirs, cocos that you're just going to love. If you head over to the CJ Evolution website, you can check out their link and you'll get 15% off using the promo code CJEVO. Special thanks to all the supporters out there who listen to the podcast. You're sharing it with your family and friends. Thank you so much. If you rate and review the show on iTunes, I sure would appreciate it. And if you want to help keep the lights on for the podcast, we would also appreciate it. If you head over to the CJEvolution.com website, you're going to see a link to Patreon, and you can donate and you can help keep this great podcast rolling. Thank you so much. On to the show with Dr. Gabrielle Lyon.
Welcome back. I got Dr. Gabrielle Lyon on the show. She is doing amazing things. Gabrielle, how you doing?
I'm great. Thank you.
Now, you are doing so many great things out there in terms of medicine, in terms of what you're doing. You're talking to elite athletes. You're talking to military. You're talking to all these people out there. What got you interested in the work you're doing right now?
That is a relatively long answer. So,
how about the abbreviated answer?
Yes, I'll give you an abbreviated answer. The overarching theme of what I've always been fascinated in is certainly medicine, nutrition, optimization from the time I was 17. The other portion of my current practice and something that is always at the forefront is mental resiliency, mental fortitude, and strength. Mm-hmm. And those, combining those two things, are really what sets my practice apart and how I treat patients. I have a relatively long education, about 17 years. Mm-hmm. Really, really long. Don't recommend that for anybody. But it provided me a capacity to have a very good understanding of both clinical knowledge, that's important, seeing patients. I did a fellowship at WashU in nutritional sciences, obesity medicine, and geriatrics, so that's brain, with an undergraduate, of course, in nutritional sciences. And then I did 2 years of in a medical school, and then 2 years of residency in psychiatry, 3 years of family medicine residency. So I've had quite an extensive education. The whole time I was competitive. I did dance and gymnastics, competed in Fitness America, was a figure competitor. Mm-hmm. And these things really culminated to what I call muscle-centric medicine. And this is the concept that muscle is the largest organ in the body, and it is the organ of longevity. Mm-hmm. And truly, it's our metabolic currency. So that kind of brings you up to speed in terms of a little bit of my background and the concepts of the medicine that I practice.
And thank you for your service. We were talking a little bit off the air
Yeah.
about you got a fiance who's a Navy SEAL and whoever he is out there. Thank you for your service. But thank you for your service, Dr. Lyon, because you are doing such amazing things out there, and you're giving back and you're educating people on how to become better performers, better at their lives. And thank you.
You bet it is something I feel very passionate about. And that is really the differentiating quality of all my patients. Every single one of my patients wants to become the best version of themselves. I never have patients that are, for the most part, they get weeded out of my practice, comfortable being mediocre, comfortable with the status quo. Those patients leave the practice very quickly.
Now, I was going to ask you, so I think that's very important because you only want to work with people who want to help themselves. So what do you tell people that come to you and say, "Hey, Dr. Lyon, I need you to help me with this," but like you said, maybe they're mediocre and they're not 100% on board. What do you tell those people?
Within our first hour, I can tell them if it's a fit or not. If an individual comes in and is unwilling to execute the plan, they're not a fit. If they have too many excuses, if they are willing to talk themselves out of what needs to happen, then it's not a fit. At the end of the day, I want for my patients what they want for themselves.
It's kind of like you were talking about. We were talking about on the air, and you mentioned that you work with, professional athletes. You work with elite military personnel, people from all around the world. People that come to you want to get better, and so they're going to be receptive to your advice and your knowledge.
Absolutely. And the individuals that are not special operations or professional athletes, still, if they are housewives or executives, they still have that underlying drive of excellence. I am not for making my patients enabled. They all leave my office capable.
Now you talk about so many amazing topics out there. I want to dive into some of these topics that you're an expert in. We all know, at least most of us know, how important nutrition is. And why is it hard for some people to eat right?
The answer to that is very simple. It is often habit and the internal dialogue in which they tell themselves. It is not that they can't, it's that they won't. And I think having a strong connection with your why, as to why it is so necessary to eat well, the majority of diseases that affect our industrialized countries are things like heart disease, diabetes, obesity, Alzheimer's disease. All of these illnesses, for the most part, unless you have a genetic predisposition to Alzheimer's, they all can be modified by proper nutrition.
And I think most people. So what do you tell people when they come into your office, doctor, and they say, "All right, I have a eating disorder. I am not eating right." And I agree with you. I think once you figure out the why, the how is going to come. But what advice specifically do you give them to say, "All right, is it just figuring out the why, or what else do
No,
you
if
give
they
them?"
have an eating disorder, that's a whole different
Okay.
ball game. The treatment has to match the severity of the illness.
Okay.
I have had many patients with eating disorders. Those individuals will often need significant therapy, whether it's hypnotherapy or other modalities. They also need some kind of, oftentimes, a drug to help reset their brain. Again, the severity of the illness has to match the severity of the treatment. You would do individuals a massive disservice who struggle with eating disorder to say, okay, you're going to have to figure out your why, because now you've moved from a can't versus won't situation to a pathological illness.
Now, what advice would you give, like, a patrol officer out there, an officer, he or she, who's working a night shift, maybe a graveyard shift that does has limited options when it
You have
comes
to
to
plan
eating?
ahead.
Go ahead.
You have to plan ahead, and that's the same with guys going on ops. They have MREs, and the guys will laugh at me. You can get paleo MREs, you can get high quality MREs, you can have stuff sent to you that are, depending on how much output you're utilizing. Products like Ample, which are great. That's meal replacement drink, protein bars, Epic bars, avocado. Those things are easy to eat. When you become at the mercy of 7-Eleven, you're in trouble.
Well, that's the
Right?
easy choice, right? I mean, that's the only place that's open. And I'm not saying that's right, obviously, but I think so much of us, myself included, at one point in my life, we're looking for, okay, we didn't plan ahead, like you said, which I agree. You didn't make a dinner or lunch or whatever snack, so we're going to go through the next thing, the easy option. But yeah, it still doesn't make it right, and everything catches up to us, right?
Absolutely. And it becomes not an option because your health and your muscle are your metabolic currency. The ways to deal with that and to execute that appropriately, just like with any op or with any mission or any plan, things are detailed out, right? It's not, oh, well, let's just wing it, right? That seems like a very poorly laid option. Very poorly laid plan. Get something on Amazon order, have a meal delivery system. You definitely will know your schedule. If you are working the graveyard shift, you're going to know that you're going to have weaknesses, you're going to be craving more, your insulin and your glucose are going to be deranged because of the lack of sleep. You know these things, so you plan for it, right?
In your professional opinion, doctor, do you think people are getting this now, or do you think people don't understand this? Do you think with all the education out there, the internet, everything out there that we have now at our fingertips, do you think people are understanding this more, or are they still kind of, whatever?
We have more access to education than ever before. The challenge is with that, we have more access to misinformation than ever
Good
before.
point, yeah.
The individuals that are really motivated to seek optimization will obviously try to go to the best sources and validate their source. There's
Interesting.
certain websites and what we call bro science out there that is not well backed in science. So I think that becomes an issue. I think people, if they are wise enough, will be smart enough to look into the details of the individual at which they're getting it, from whom they're getting the advice. And that becomes really
Yeah,
important.
it can't be getting advice from the person next to you who's not doing what they need to be doing.
Right. That's not ideal. I do think that awareness is being raised because the issues are so prevalent. With that being said, people are also becoming more accustomed. They think that the sizes in Walmart are acceptable, that the and it's not, but they've become the norm. We don't even think twice when people are taking the elevators or escalators. There's a concept of domestication to our humanity that is happening, and individuals, I think, become a bit numb to that.
Is that just because they're looking at what's going on and they're looking and saying, all right, there's a, I mean, we are an obese society, you know that, doctor. So they just look around and say, well, everybody else is doing it, I should do it too.
I think that it's not so much that, it is a more of a mass mentality. Individuals see what the other person is doing, their health is mediocre, that becomes the norm, that becomes acceptable. For example, we talk about health and longevity. The concept of going into a nursing home or living poorly at the end of an individual's life is what we expect and is commonplace. Most other countries, it's not like that.
Mm-hmm.
But because we become so accustomed to that, then that becomes our norm.
Now let's switch gears a little bit and talk about sleep. You know, you have a fiance who's a special operator. Sleep is very important. Sleep is important for overall health and peak performance. What would you tell the first responder out there, or a special operator, or your fiance, or anybody else that you coach, how to get the sleep they need? Because often it is very difficult. You know that.
Here's what I tell the operators. All you guys care about is good hair and testosterone.
That's not true. We want sleep. At least I do now because I'm old.
If you don't sleep, you will not have good testosterone.
Yeah.
So that right there is 50% off the table of what you really want.
Yeah.
I tell them that. It will decrease their testosterone incredibly. They're ready to this news. They're ready to go to bed. That's, you know, what time is bedtime?
But that's true. That's true.
It's true. It is, of course.
It affects everything.
Sleep also allows your brain to clean itself. So there are areas in the brain that vasodilate. There are glial cells that regenerate in terms of, they don't regenerate, but what they do is they get rid of waste products. If you do not sleep, you are at an increased risk for cognitive impairment and dementia down the line.
So what would you recommend, Gabrielle, for what's the optimum number of sleep hours that we need to get?
Everybody says between 7 and 8. I think it's very individual.
Mm-hmm.
I will tell you, those that are special operators, or I know you have a lot of military, anyone that's had multiple head trauma, that can be from gun blasts, it can be from explosives, jumping, they often have issues with sleep apnea.
Mm-hmm.
It is very important for individuals to get tested.
And sleep apnea, can you explain what sleep apnea is?
There's different kinds of sleep apnea. There's central sleep apnea. There is structural sleep apnea. And essentially what it is, it's when you stop breathing for periods of time at night.
Mm-hmm.
And it increases risks of heart disease, inflammatory marker, blood pressure, lowers hormones like testosterone, affects glucose and insulin. You never get into those deep sleeps.
I know what sleep apnea is. I'm glad you explained it to the listeners, because I have sleep apnea.
You do?
Yes.
Interesting. And how long have you had it?
I've had it for at least a couple of years, and I had to get tested for it, doctor. And, you know, I didn't know what I had, but I remember my wife used to ask me, or she used to wake me up at night because I would stop breathing. And when I got tested for it, I think on average I stopped breathing 25 to 30 times a night. And now I have to wear a machine, like you know. I have to wear a CPAP. And
Do you look like you're going ready scuba diving?
What's that?
Do you look like you're getting ready to go scuba diving?
Yes, I do. But I tell you what, for all those guys out there and women, because women have sleep apnea too, if you have sleep apnea, suck it up. You know, wear the mask because you'll feel 100% better, which I do.
And you should. That's amazing.
It's a little bit about me that the listeners probably did not know. Now, you talk about stress. How do we reduce stress in our lives? I know that there's good stress, eustress.
Yeah, well, I think it's I think it's just a reinterpretation. The question is, why do you want to reduce stress?
Mm-hmm.
And what role is it playing? I've never seen someone become successful without stress.
Yeah.
There is an upside to stress, and it's a matter of how we interpret it, because everything is certainly an opportunity for growth. I think, you know, we have a society where we try to turn away from it. That seems to increase levels of stress in a negative sense. And that doesn't strike me as the right thing. I think it's more reinterpretation. For example, if you are getting ready to give a talk and you get butterflies in your stomach and you don't want to do it and have a complete meltdown, instead of interpreting the information into your body that is negative, you put those butterflies in attack formation, right? And you execute.
But there's good stress too, like I said. I mean, there's like pushing yourself to, you know, exercising and things like that, right? That's good for you.
Of course. I think the majority of stress can be good for you.
Now, how would you limit stress, though, the bad stress? Is it just like associating
meditation.
With different, what's that?
Meditation. Meditation is absolutely essential.
Oh, my God. I love how you said that because I'm a huge mindfulness person. I love meditation. I do it about 10, 15 minutes every morning.
Amazing. What kind do you use?
I use an app called Headspace. I also use a band that I put on my head called Muse, and it acts like, you know what I'm talking about, right?
I do. I have one.
Yeah. Do you love it?
I don't use it. I just regular. I use regular meditation.
You have to use it.
I find it a little distracting.
Because it is amazing. It has really changed my life, and there's a reason why the U.S. military and professional sports teams, first responders meditate, because it really does help. Now, if you would have asked me a couple of years ago, I would have laughed at you, but it has changed my life.
Cool. I think that it is something that everyone should do.
What about biohacking? You talk about biohacking. Now, what does that mean exactly?
I am actually not a big biohacker. I think that there's really no way to cheat the system. I think when you're talking about biohacking, it's the concept of a shortcut. Mm-hmm. I think that is that's just misinformation. We could reframe that to think, how can we get the best out of ourselves, optimize ourselves in a way that is most efficient and effective?
Mm-hmm. Now, what are some of the ways that we can do that?
Your foundations need to be in check. Rather than making things complicated, you should be eating well, training hard, sleeping well, meditating. You get those four fundamentals down, the rest are easy.
What about associating with certain people? Because I'm a big believer that if you don't have the right people surrounding you, if you have negative people surrounding you, you're going to become who you surround yourself with. Are you a believer in that?
Absolutely.
Yeah, because I think that it's so important who you associate yourself with.
It's one of the most important things. I have a very small, tight-knit group. Mm-hmm. And the more that I do, the smaller that group stays. And those individuals that are close to me are phenomenal individuals. They're exceptional in all ways.
And they're pumping you up. They're teaching you, or they're mentoring you, or coaching you, or whatever, to reach for the stars and be the best person you can be.
Yeah, we're a team. And I'm lucky because my partner, I'm a team guy's wife, you know, or team guy's fiance, and they are the ultimate in creating a team environment because their life depends on it. I would say out of all the military operators I've seen over the years and my experience with the military, I have learned the most when it comes to the people that you surround yourself with because of my fiance.
Yeah.
He is exceptional in curating the connection and the people that we are close to as a group.
Now, why is it so hard for people to understand this, Gabrielle? Why is it so hard for people to say, all right, these people are negative in my life. I'm going to go ahead and it's hard sometimes, especially with family, because family can be very negative. They can be toxic. But why is it so hard for people to say, all right, I'm gonna, even though they're my family or good friends, I'm going to kind of not associate with them as much as I did before?
People become very accustomed to their pain.
Mm-hmm.
Oftentimes, they feel as if they're not worthy to be surrounded by those that are exceptional.
Mm-hmm. So it's just it's a matter of cognitive kind of reconstructing.
Absolutely. I also think self-confidence and self-worth plays a huge role in that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're beaten down all your life and surrounded by people who are saying you can't do it, you're a loser, you'll never amount to anything, then it's that much harder, like you said.
It is that much harder. There also needs to be some personal responsibility to make those changes.
Yeah.
When you're younger, people can write the story for you. As you gain experience, you have to write the story for yourself.
That's important. I agree with that. So one question I want to ask you, an important question, is what is your morning routine, Gabrielle? What do you do in the morning?
I wake up at 5:45.
That's early.
It is, I know. I meditate for 20 minutes. Then I turn on something called a Juve light. I have a red panel light. Turn it on. I journal. Sit in front of it. Typically, it would be what I'm looking forward to for the day, a gratitude journal. Now, because I'm pregnant, I write.
Oh, congratulations, by the way.
Thank you. Thank you. I write a couple sentences to my child, and then I call Shane, and we connect. We talk about what the goals are for the day, what we're looking forward to, how the day's going to play out. And then I have some coffee, get ready like a crazy person, and then I usually train, so I train in the morning. I do some kind of kettlebell routine. I work with someone here in the city. Her name is Melissa Paris. She's amazing.
Yeah.
And then I go to work.
Then you have your day. What are some mm-hmm. favorite books? What do you consume? What do you like to read?
Oh gosh, I'm reading. I read all the time. And right now I'm reading a book called Raising Men. Even though I'm having a baby girl, it's a.
Any advice you can give the men out there that you're...
Yeah, that's really funny. No, I never thought about it. But it's just this concept for parenting. It's from a SEAL, Eric Davis. Just is a really interesting book. I typically read a few books. I'm reading a hormone book. And I read constantly, and then I'll usually read one research paper a day.
One research paper?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
So that I can become the best physician. I always am striving to learn as a physician. If you become complacent, it becomes really challenging.
I love that because, you know, we should never become complacent. We should always be learning, you know, becoming better people.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think it's essential. And when you get out of residency or fellowship, it becomes on you to learn, especially if you are in a private practice. You become responsible for who you collaborate with and who you learn from.
Well, that's amazing.
And if you don't seek that out, it's a challenge.
Any final advice you want to give to the listener out there who's listening right now?
Become better every day. Really think about how you can improve and become more exceptional. If you do a recapitulation of the day, if you really review each day, there are areas where you can improve, because going forward, you will likely make those errors in the future.
Yeah.
But if you review and you take stock, your capacity for improvement on that situation that will likely repeat itself will be exceptional.
Amazing advice. And if people want to reach out to you, Dr. Lyon, how do they find you?
Yes. There are a few ways to find me. Instagram, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon.
You're huge on Instagram, I know, because I follow you.
No, are you kidding? Amateur hour over here.
Yeah, right.
Dr. Gabrielle Lyon, my website, Dr. Gabrielle Lyon. And I want to mention a very important foundation that I am a part of, that if operators want to see me, they can certainly reach out to me directly, but I feel very strongly about raising awareness for a group called Task Force Dagger. All of your operators, everybody should know about this. It provides care within 2 hours.
Wow.
From the time that an operator needs them. That is one area which they do. They also have a functional medicine, integrative medicine practice for operators who want to feel better, which is obviously what I'm a part of. And then they also have a rehabilitation therapy for families. So this is the foundation that I support, that I also am a physician for.
Well, I appreciate you all you're doing out there for the veterans and first responders out there, Dr. Lyon. Thank you so much for coming on the show. Much success to you in the future, and keep doing amazing things.
Thank you, sir. I really appreciate the time.
All right. Bye-bye.
such a great chat with Dr. Lyon. I hope you enjoyed it. Some of the takeaways that I took from this conversation was the important insight and education that Dr. Lyon has on nutrition. It is so important, folks, that we take better care of ourselves. In a world with a bunch of crap out there, crap, I mean crappy food to eat, we need to fill our bodies with healthy food. That's how we're going to be at our best levels. That's how you're going to biohack your 10X. I also love the conversation about stress. We all worry about things in our life. A lot of things that we worry about never come to fruition. They never come true. So stop worrying about things that you don't have any control over. Get a mindfulness practice down. Meditate. Journal. Manage your stress better. This is how you're going to become the best first responder or whatever you're doing in the criminal justice field. Folks, thank you so much. Until next time, stay tuned for great episodes. We got great guests coming up. You're going to love them. Take care.
Thanks for listening to CJ Evolution. Be sure to head over to iTunes and rate and review the podcast and reach out to Patrick on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, Anchor, or Snapchat. We'll see you next time on CJ Evolution.